Chapter 12. Zethir drew another burning rune in the air and leapt from the ledge, dropping the last 10 meters to the bottom of the gorge as lightly as a leaf on the breeze. The bodies of dead greenskins were not so thick here as upon the slope of the nearby hill. She picked her way between them easily as she approached Cantor. The chaptermaster stood like a statue amongst the corpses of his foes, his expression hidden, like hers, by the helmet that he wore. Most of Cantor's warriors had fallen back, busying themselves with searching for wounded greenskins and slitting their throats. The largest of them, the ones called Terminators, formed a single rank just a few meters behind Cantor, their bestial helmets turned towards her in stony silence. Each and every one of them, down to the lowest-ranking battle brother, was a living testament to the rack and ruin of combat. Their armor was battered and scarred, its enamel chipped and covered with splashes of dust, blood, and viscera. Where fluttering ribbons had once been attached by thick coins of wax, there were only scorched fragments or fading red stains. Tabards had been shredded and stained, many reduced to little more than rags. When they moved, the Farseer's keen hearing detected the faint whine of overtaxed power plants and the rope-like creak of damaged pseudomusculature. And not all of the gore-caking their war gear belonged to their foes. Every one of the Space Marines bore wounds that individually would have been the death of a mere human. They endured, by virtue of their physical and mental conditioning, and an iron will that bordered on the supernatural. The threads of fate lay heavily on these warriors. Zethir could feel their vibrations like plucked cords, but none so much as Cantor himself. More and more wove about him with every passing moment, as the great skein adjusted to his continued existence. Now, instead of dying upon the summit of yonder hill, Pedro Cantor would rise from this world, and the cosmos would tremble beneath his feet. Not for the first time, Zethir wondered if perhaps she had done the right thing by sparing him, even to save her beloved craft world. She approached him without preamble, her witchblade tucked beneath her arm and pointed at the ground. "Tell him no more than necessary," the Farseer reminded herself. "Humans were too volatile to take chances with." Cantor nodded her way in wary greeting.
"On behalf of the Crimson Fists, you have my thanks," he said. His voice was deep and resonant, gripping in its intensity. It surprised Zethir, who had never seen one of the Imperium's elite warriors up close.
"The surviving beasts cower in the shadows below, ensnared in a web of our devising," she declared. "Pursue them into the darkness, and a great victory shall be yours."
Despite the layers of heavy armor, the Farseer could see Cantor stiffen at her tone. Like most human leaders, he was not accustomed to being spoken to in such a fashion. A stir went through the Terminators as they watched the exchange. Zethir gripped the haft of her spear lightly, feeling the threads of fate shifting around her. The Chaptermaster stared down at her in silence. She stared back unflinchingly.
"And should I choose not to do so?"
the human said at last. Had the Farseer not been wearing her helmet, her jaw might have dropped in an unseemly display of shock. Such arrogance! She and her people had crossed the stars to save him.
"Then they will escape and grow ever stronger in the darkness," she replied, speaking as though to an insolent child. "In 50 of your years, a shadow of their making will rise to envelop this area of space, which, unopposed, shall be the doom of your people and mine. Catastrophe will reign, and you shall lament your inaction this day."
That seemed to get the Chaptermaster's attention. Cantor turned and considered his warriors for a moment.
"Will you aid us in the gorge, as you did here?"
"Be not so swift to embrace us as allies," Zethir snapped.
She was saying too much. She knew that on one level, but she also knew Cantor's future, the future that she had just made possible, and how it would ultimately run its course. The words came pouring out of her in an angry flood.
Auspicious fate dictated that we should fight side by side this day, but fate is a fickle creature. At our next encounter, it will be my fists that bear the stain of your blood.
She spun on a heel and stalked away before Cantor could reply, fearful that her outburst might have compromised everything she had worked so hard to arrange. Whatever she might feel, her duty to the craft world came first. Zethia opened her comlink.
There is nothing more to be done, she told her companions. Withdraw from your positions and return to the cave.
Shaniel and her rangers complied at once, rising from cover and vanishing into the shadows. Zethia raised her witchblade and inscribed a rune in the air, then danced lightly up the side of the gorge. In moments, she had slipped into a narrow cleft in the flank of the mountain and was hidden from view. Now it fell to the warp spiders to do their part.